The Honorable, the Supreme Court of Texas. All persons having business before the Honorable Supreme Court of Texas are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the state of Texas and this honorable court.
Thank you. Please be seated. Before we begin our submission docket this morning, it is my privilege to swear in Justice Jan Patterson of the Third Court of Appeals, and we'll do that right here. Justice Patterson. Working with Justice Kidd on many occasions, and I'll just say on behalf of the court that this is a great loss for the state of Texas, and our prayers and thoughts go out to Justice Kidd and to his family. The court has three matters on its oral submission docket. In the order of their appearance, they are docket number 02-1176, Halco Texas, Inc. versus McMullen County. From McMullen County in the 4th Court of Appeals District, Justice Green is not sitting in that case. Docket number 030753, National Collegiate Athletic Association versus Jocelyn Yao from Travis County and the 3rd District. And docket number 031128, Sandy Dew and others versus Crown Derrick Erectors from Jefferson County and the 9th District. The court has allotted 20 minutes per side in each of these matters, and the court will take a brief recess between each argument, and we expect to conclude these arguments before noon. These proceedings are being recorded digitally, and a link to the argument should be posted on the court's website by the end of the day. There is currently one vacancy on the court, which we expect will be filled in the near future. The court is ready to hear argument in 02-1176, Halco Texas, Inc. versus McMullen County.
May it please the court, Ms. Lynn Blades will present argument for the petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court, This case presents the court with the opportunity to demonstrate that Article 1, Section 17 of the Texas Constitution actually offers protection to landowners for being singled out to share a substantially disproportionate share, to bear a substantially disproportionate share of the burden that in all justice and fairness should be shared by the public as a whole. In adopting a ban on landfills, after Hawthorne had invested almost $1 million in the permitting process in its land in McMullen County, the county has in fact singled Halco out to bear the burden of a public benefit and grossly disproportionate share.
You know in your brief that the county could have adopted an ordinance at any time and early on in this process prohibiting landfills. If they had done so before after Halco had bought the property, but before it had taken really any substantive steps to obtain the permit, would your position be different? Would that amount to a taking?
Yes, Your Honor, our position would be different. The issue of significant degree of interference with investment-backed expectations is one of degree, and the substantiality of the investment-backed expectations is built over time and over the course of reasonable investments in a real estate project or a land use project. And so at the point where Halco had simply purchased the property and had only not even initiated the permitting process and had spent much less money in the permitting process and in the investigation of the property, then Halco would be in substantially the same position as the other landowners in McMullen County when the ban was adopted, and therefore there would be no evidence of singling out. We would have a much less substantial economic impact and much less significant degree of interference with investment-backed expectations, and the case would look much more like Sheffield. It would still feel troubling. The county knew when Halco bought the property that Halco intended to use it for land use, and when Halco purchased the property, it was a permitted use of the property.
But where along the continuum, purchase, before the permit is actually given, where along that continuum do you say as a legal matter the taking occurred?
Your Honor, that is the difficult question, of course, that this case presents. And I think the most straightforward resolution for this court is to make it clear to lower courts that at some point the legal line has crossed and the degree of interference and the economic impact has in fact reached constitutional proportions. Our proposition is that the court can simply say if the allegations that Halco presented in the summary judgment evidence are true in our motion in opposition to the summary judgment motion, if those are true, then this would be on the other side of the line. The essence of takings cases are fact-intensive inquiries into the totality of the circumstances. And in Sheffield, the court actually made clear that it's more fact-intensive than we might have thought before because it doesn't rely simply on the Penn Central Mayhew factors of substantial economic impact and significant interference, but there are other factors that
What's the status of the permit now? I couldn't tell from the record where we are.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, that we didn't make it clear. It's pending. Our permit is pending. There is still a possibility that Halco will be permitted. We are, in fact, just one contested case proceeding, or however long it takes to do the contested case proceeding, from a permit. The administrative staff of the commission, which is now the TCEQ, we've been through three commissions in the processes, the administrative staff has certified to the commission that as the permit is written, this would be a safe landfill. The permit application is pending because if we prevail on our claim for compensation, the county, of course, while they would have to pay us temporary takings damages, might abate or not apply the ordinance to us, and therefore we would go forward with our permit application. In addition, we have pending a statutory claim under the Texas Real Private Property Preservation Rights Act, in which the remedy for that claim would be an injunction against the ordinance.
But don't we have to presume then to find a taking here that the permit would be granted? Because if it's denied, where would that put us? What if you were to lose the contested case?
I think not, Your Honor. I think that when Halco began the process, initiated the process of permitting the land for a landfill, they had a reasonable expectation to operate a safe landfill in that location. It was an acceptable use under all of the regulatory rules that applied at the time. If the commission denies the permit, it will be because it's not a safe landfill. Halco had no reasonable expectation to operate an unsafe landfill. At the time the county adopted its ordinance, however, There's one, close to $1 million, $800,000 worth of evidence that this is, in fact, a safe landfill. Very little evidence, conjectural evidence, that it might be unsafe. And so,
but yet, it still took 2 years or so. How long was it between the enactment of the ordinance and the issuance of the final draft permit?
About a year and a half, Your Honor.
Year and a half.
The ordinance was enacted in June of 1993, and the final draft permit, I believe, was in January, February of 1995.
Is this in the record? I mean, how can we determine that all the evidence showed it was a safe permit, there was no evidence it was unsafe?
Well, the court can take judicial notice of the fact that the commission staff issued a final draft permit, which is not to say that there are no risks. No land use operates without a risk. In fact, every land use in the city has some sort of risk. There's a risk of a fire.
What I'm saying is, we don't want to be speculative in our analysis. And if we look at the point in time, because I presume the taking would have occurred when the ordinance was enacted.
Your Honor, it's our allegation that the taking occurred when our request for a variance was denied, September 1999.
What do we do about it? We have some jurisprudence that says, some cases that say, either under the primary jurisdiction doctrine or the exclusive jurisdiction doctrine, that you've got to wait to see what the agency is going to say before you have a common law claim, for example. We don't know the outcome of the agency ruling or appeal. How do we factor all that in? Because you don't have... This could have been contested. It could have been reversed on appeal, possibly. I mean, how do we decide there's been a taking when we don't know for sure that you would have been allowed to use this as a
landfill? Excuse me. Most takings cases proceed when the claimant actually has no permits in hand at all. Sheffield, no plan development. Mayhew, no permit, no upzoning. The essence of the takings claim is not that we are guaranteed to have a landfill and we are guaranteed to make a profit on it. The essence of our takings claim is, at the time we began our investment process, we had a reasonable expectation to pursue a permit.
So what's your measure of damages?
Our measure of damages, as the court has made clear, is the change in value of the property at the point just before the ordinance was enacted, or excuse me, just at the point just before the variance was denied, versus the value of the property.
So it would be the speculative value that you might get a landfill permit?
No, Your Honor, it's not speculative at all. In fact, we have evidence in the summary judgment opposition motion that shows that is, in fact, there is a land sale, which is the basis of our valuation, of a piece of property that is in the process of being permitted. I believe it's in the process of being permitted. And that those, in fact, are valuable commodities. That most of the risk of whether a property will be permitted for a landfill is eliminated by the time you have the draft permit. Not all the risk, but most of the risk. Very early on in the process, the value of the property would be much less substantially enhanced by the investment in the permitting process.
So can surrounding landowners and your people right next door, can they now go into the county and say, these people could have gotten a permit, we could have gotten a permit, and there has been a taking because we could have done exactly what they did, and now?
No, Your Honor, not at all. At the time the ordinance was enacted, those other landowners had not invested any resources in the permitting process. Therefore, the act of a pre-existing ordinance doesn't constitute an inherent limitation on their title, as the Supreme Court in Palazzolo said. Their degree of reasonable expectation to pursue a landfill is relatively minimal. It's more like Mayhew. They would have an expectation to change the existing rules to their property. And that's not, and the court said in Mayhew, that that's not really a reasonable expectation. So what makes this case important in the takings context is that with the encouragement of the county, HALCO changed its position with respect to its property and with respect to all the other landowners in the county so that it had invested substantial resources in a particular land use that was lawful.
The $800,000 that was invested, what is that comprised of?
Initially, HALCO spent $200,000 searching out appropriate property because, as I've said, the permitting process is quite risky, and all operators of landfills know that you might buy a piece of property that will turn out, once the scientific investigation occurs, to not be geologically well-suited. So there was $200,000 in consulting fees and scientific investigation before they bought the property, $95,000 purchase price. So about $300,000 at the purchase. Once the permitting was initiated, about $480,000 of the remaining $800,000 was, in fact, the science of the permitting. It wasn't attorney's fees. There are about $45,000 invested in the permitting attorney's fees. What the commission does, what the state has entrusted the commission to do, is investigate the safety of the property. And what HALCO established in the permitting process was, as far as we can tell, after $450,000 worth of scientific evidence and rigorous testing by McMullen County, by the City of Corpus Christi, by other interested parties in the permitting process, as far as we can tell at this point, it is a geologically safe place to put a landfill.
Has that testing been challenged by anybody?
Yes, Your Honor. The permitting process has been engaged throughout the process.
Can the county intervene in the permitting process?
The county is involved in the permitting process already, Your Honor.
So the county's argument that it's either safe or unsafe would be something that the commission would determine in the first instance.
Yes, Your Honor, it has been considering. And, in fact, HALCO has made, this is very much in many ways like Del Monte Dunes, HALCO has made changes to its proposed permit. A permitting process is initiated by a landfill applicant who defines what they think are the appropriate safety constraints in the permit. The interested parties then contest whether those are, in fact, sufficient to guarantee the safety of whatever resource they're addressing, and we have adjusted our permit time and again.
That's my question. Is the commission process one where they just give you a yes or no, or one where they say we would approve it if you do the following three things?
Oh, Your Honor, much more the latter, and many times over. We have been through many iterations.
So even if they denied it, it's a good chance it would be with conditions that might be fulfilled. I assume at some cost you could make any property safe. You could put a complete concrete swimming pool with 10-foot walls, and you could, at some cost, make any property safe.
That may be so, but that's not the structure of the regulatory process.
Well, let's say at some point, then, it's not worth your client's money.
Well, not only that, but the TNRCC, or now the TCEQ, wouldn't permit a landfill which proposed so significant risk that it would take such a structure to make it safe. And in fact, that's not our permit.
The numbers that you explained that go into the $800,000 that's in the record.
Yes, sir.
You say that the county singled out this project and that you're bearing all of the cost of having a landfill-free county. What if there had been 10 other landfill projects in the county underway? Would this still be a taking of each of them?
Excuse me, Your Honor, it would be a substantially different case, and I suppose it would depend. It is possible that the county could single out 10 residents to bear a substantially disproportionate, and I don't make the argument that we're bearing all the costs. We're bearing a substantially disproportionate share of a public burden that in all justice and fairness should be spread across the public as a whole. It's possible, I think, that the county could have singled out adversely 10 residents out of a county of 700. It seems less likely, and this would go into the totality of the circumstances. We don't have that case.
I'm trying to fit this in the takings. You say, well, it's because they singled us out, and if that's true, then what difference does it make if there were nine others, or does it make a difference?
It may make it harder to prove that,
why?
In fact, we were singled out.
What has singling out got to do with whether it's a taking?
Well, in fact, I think it has everything to do with whether it's a taking, Your Honor. In fact, I think the Penn Central Mayhew factors are proxies for a land use regulation, which is otherwise valid, but which is directed at an individual. Article 1, Section 17 is, remember, in the Bill of Rights, and the Bill of Rights protects individuals from government overreaching. It doesn't invalidate government action in this context. It simply says, if you want to have this benefit in your county, don't impose the burden disproportionately on identifiable individuals. And might I add that in this case, the fact that there is only one and not 10 lends credence to our claim that this land use restriction fails to substantially advance a legitimate government interest. In fact, the county cares about Choke Canyon, but there's no evidence in the record that Choke Canyon is at risk, Choke Canyon Lake, and there's no evidence that the 3-mile radius is substantially related to protecting Choke Canyon Lake. Maybe 2 miles would be close enough, maybe 4 miles on one side, depending on the geology of the land, and 5 miles on the other. If we were challenging this statute on a rational basis standard, 3 miles would be close enough. But there's a rational... But there's a requirement that a land use restriction, which has such a substantial economic impact and so significantly interferes with reasonable investment-backed expectations, there's a requirement in this court's jurisprudence, reiterated in Sheffield, that says it has to substantially advance legitimate government interest. The county can't make the requisite showing.
I'm going to presume that the county's representation of the potential success of the permit may be different from your own.
Yes, Your Honor.
And how are we to resolve that?
It's not relevant to this case. It's important for the case to realize that we, in Art Mackin, that we have invested reasonably to get to the point where we have a reasonable expectation to finish the process. And whether we are denied the permit or not by the commission isn't relevant to whether the county's application of the ordinance to us by denying our variance so significantly interfered with our reasonable expectation that they should compensate us.
Well, you say reasonable expectation to finish the process.
And have it resolved on matters of safety before the commission.
But you're proceeding along that line.
Yes, Your Honor, but if we don't prevail on the takings plan and the county doesn't withdraw the ordinance or apply to us, we won't be able to proceed. The county, in fact, has tried to bootstrap their ordinance into a motion to abate our...
Now, I guess where I have problems is if we were to find a taking and that Halco was entitled to compensation, what happens if the permit's ultimately denied?
If you find a taking and we're compensated, we wouldn't proceed because the ordinance would be valid and we wouldn't have an opportunity. What you're asking me, I guess, is what our expectations are, is I think what you're asking. The permitting process, our expectations now are embodied in the value of the property, and our summary judgment evidence says that this property at this stage, no ordinance, no McMillan County ordinance, and a draft permit is worth $5 million. And we could sell it for that. And those are our expectations that the application of the ordinance will provide.
Let me just ask you real quickly. After Halco 1 issued, it took over 2 years for Halco to seek a variance from the ordinance. Why was that?
Well, it probably, if I can be candid, we changed counsel. We also weren't sure we wanted to fight this battle to the end. It might have been, you know, these are sunk costs, and Halco might have decided that it wasn't worth persevering. But in the end, Halco took the county on its word. The county promised that they would seriously consider a variance request. And in the end, there was enough invested in the property, and the loss was so substantial from the application of the ordinance that we wanted to give the county a chance to abate their take interest by issuing a variance and not applying the ordinance to us. So it was an attempt to accommodate the county. A contention that they shouldn't be liable for taking because they could grant a variance if, in fact, it would amount to taking.
Thank you, counsel. Any further questions? The court is ready to hear argument from the respondents.
May it please the court, Mr. Jim Allison, Mr. Respondent.
In reviewing the briefs and hearing the opening argument, the court may be struck as I am, and I'm sure the citizens of McMillan County are, by the contrast in the positions of the parties in this case. McMillan County believes that it has adopted an ordinance that was authorized by statute that substantially advanced the legitimate interest of its citizens by protecting the sole water, drinking water supply for itself and over 1 million people.
What is the evidence that this landfill would be unsafe with respect to the drinking water?
There are opinions of experts hired by the county that are in the over 1,000 pages of record in this case. There are admissions by Halco that the chemicals that are placed in this type of landfill, these industrial solvents and other chemicals, are extremely dangerous, that they would be detrimental to a drinking water supply. There are admissions that these landfills leak, there is substantial evidence in the record that this landfill, if allowed to be placed within sight of Choke Canyon Reservoir, would be a substantial detriment to the drinking water supply of South Texas.
And why did the commission go as far as it did in permitting this?
The commission, as I believe you already noted, the commission goes forward with setting matters for hearing if there's a showing that there's been substantial compliance with the draft regulations. There was no finding by the commission that this would be a safe location for a landfill. There was no finding by the commission that they intended to issue a permit. A draft permit is just that. It is the basis to go forward to a contested hearing. And that's where this permit was when the HALCO lost its first lawsuit challenging the ordinance, and that's where it was when HALCO suspended and requested the abatement of its permit.
Let me make sure I understand what you're saying. If I go out to Lake Travis and start and tell them I'm planning on dumping nuclear waste there, the Texas Commission is going to issue me a draft permit and that the staff is going to recommend.
They would have and did at this time. Their procedure at this time.
Do you think they really would do that with an Austin American Statesman lying nearby?
There's no question.
They have to issue the permit regardless of how dangerous they think it is.
No question. Mr. Hall went to McMullen County instead of Travis County for a reason, thinking he would take on 850 people.
My question is, I just want to make sure you're telling us that the commission has no opinion about safety when they issue this draft permit and go as far as they've gone in this case.
The situation was
no
so bad.
Opinion about safety. They have done no analysis of safety to this date. Yes or no?
They have now changed the rules, and that's very important, and it's very important that you know that. As cited in our brief, the Texas legislature stopped the TNRCC from any further action on permits of this type and froze those until they adopted further regulations, which they have now done. No permits issued under of this type since this application was filed.
But their argument is that at the point in time that the county passed the ordinance, that they had a market-based, a valuable piece of property because of the money they had invested in the permitting process. Now, whether they would have gotten a permit or not, they have at least evidence in a summary judgment setting that says that someone would have paid a lot more money to buy that property as it was on the date of the ordinance, even though they didn't have a final permit. So if that's their argument, what difference does it make whether the commission would ever have actually granted the permit?
Actually, our position is that it doesn't matter, that the county was entitled to adopt its ordinance, and the ordinance was upheld, and the ordinance was in the furtherance of a legitimate state interest, and that it was adopted for health and safety purposes, and that HALCO has no claim.
Well, there's no question. There's no question that the county has the authority to adopt the ordinance. The question is, do they have to pay for it?
Correct. And a long-standing rule.
Government can take your property as long as it's for public purpose. The question is, do they have to pay? And one concern is, what did the county know at the time that it adopted the ordinance about 1 mile versus 2 miles versus 3 miles, the geology and so forth?
Exactly. And that bears upon why the county, let's look at the...
What did they know? I
mean, they knew from expert testimony that there needed to be a buffer.
That was after the acquisition of this land, correct?
It was after the acquisition of land by Mr. Hall and HALCO, yes. Mr. HALCO did not come to McMullen County and say, oh, by the way, I'm thinking about buying some land here and I want to put a landfill on it. He came and bought the land first. Then he revealed that he intended to take this 128 acres on the shores of the lake and turn it into an industrial landfill. The county immediately...
Two miles, not pretty long shore.
Approximately, it's a little under 2 miles, yes. But you can see the lake from this property.
Well, but does that matter? What did the county know about what difference 2 miles made at the time it passed the ordinance? Is that in the record?
Yes. The expert testimony from the county's experts was that 3 miles was a reasonable buffer for the lake. And you have to take a reasonable approach. The county, under the statute, was required not only if it chose to protect certain parts of the county, as it did, it was required to designate other areas where landfills would be permitted. And that's what the statute required, and that's what the county did. The county had to go through this process of determining where is the reasonable line to be drawn. And that they hired experts to do that. They developed that information. They adopted their ordinance. They told HALCO from day one, by resolution and in person, that we believe this is a bad idea. If you think an industrial landfill needs to be built somewhere, don't build it near the lake.
Why did the county then wait so long to pass the ordinance?
They waited to determine what was a reasonable buffer. This was not singling
but
out.
But you just said the county said from day one they thought it was a bad idea.
Common sense told them this is a bad idea. And then they developed a scientific basis to back it up. And that's in the record, that their experts found that a three-mile buffer was a reasonable setback from the lake.
It seems like you have two different opinions, and you have their experts saying one thing and the city's experts saying another. Doesn't that in itself create a fact question?
It could have, except that in Hawco 1, the question of the ordinance itself has already been litigated. Indeed, the takings claim has already been litigated. That issue about the ordinance,
litigated?
They're not challenging
How
the ordinance.
How could that have been litigated when you took the position it wasn't right?
We did not take that position, Your Honor. That's not correct.
So the statements in the brief are wrong.
The statement that the county took any position concerning ripeness in Hawco 1, the first state court action that determined that this was a valid ordinance and that there was no taking, and that that was upheld by the Court of Appeals in its first determination. There was no issue concerning ripeness in that case. The county did not object to a full adjudication of this case on the merits, and there was no reservation of any federal rights as well.
Well, my understanding was the ripeness concern was that it hadn't proceeded in state court first, and not so much that a variance had been sought.
That's correct, because a variance is not required in a case where the county, the governmental body, has made a final determination concerning the application of the ordinance. There was no issue here concerning whether or not the county had finally determined that landfills would be barred within 3 miles of the lake and that this property was within 3 miles of the lake. Very much like Mayhew, there was no need for a variance here. The county had already made its determination.
I don't understand that statement. The government makes determinations all the time about the height of the buildings and the setbacks and so on, and then they give variances. What's a variance for if it's not for that?
Well, I agree.
So I don't understand the statement. The county had already made its determination, so there was no need for a variance.
Well, the county had made a determination that it would prohibit landfills, not regulate them. Not determined what type of land.
The city makes a determination that it wants houses set back so far and that it gives a variance. Why couldn't it give a variance in this case?
The statute does not permit it. There's nothing in the statute that says that the county can grant variance. And there's nothing in the ordinance to indicate that a variance would be available. And there was nothing certainly in the variance they applied for was simply a statement of we want an exception from your ordinance.
Was there anything that prevented them from seeking a variance in Hawco 1?
If they thought a variance was applicable, that's a very good point. Once the ordinance was adopted, Hawco did not come forward seeking a variance. They went directly to court. They filed litigation challenging.
But could they have sought a variance at that time, or did they need some sort of final permit in order to be able to seek a variance?
I don't believe that it had any application to the ordinance whether they had a permit or not. They did not have one, so they had no right to dispose of solid waste.
No, but what I'm saying is, did they need a permit to be able, a final draft permit to be able to seek a variance? Could they have sought one?
If they had a permit to construct and operate a landfill, I would certainly concede this would be a different case.
No, I don't think you understand my question. I'm trying to find out, could they have sought a variance in Hawco 1 when they did not yet have a final draft permit?
Yes. If they thought the variance was applicable, they could have sought one.
How far down the road do you have to be to have a non-conforming use? What if this has been an apartment, a proposed apartment complex, and they had done site work, had scientific studies, geological studies done, hired the architects, done substantial work to get this ready to go, and then the county passed an ordinance saying no apartment projects within 3 miles of the lake? How far down the road do you have to go before you have a non-conforming use where you do owe compensations?
I believe you have to be at the point where you are actually put an existing permitting use to the property. I do not believe speculation that you might someday get a permit, that you might someday be able to operate a landfill or a dynamite factory in a subdivision, or put up billboards on property where you've not already put them up, as in the city of Houston case, or drill for oil and gas around Lake Houston, as in the Trail Enterprise case, where the city of Houston established a buffer around Lake Houston to protect it, that you cannot rely upon the expenditure of money does not create an expectation of a permitted use that does not exist and that has never existed.
Well, it existed before the ordinance was passed, correct?
There has never been a landfill on this property. There's never been a landfill permitted on this property. There was the prior historical use was agricultural only.
But it wasn't unlawful until the ordinance was passed.
It is unlawful under Texas law. You cannot dispose of solid waste on property without a state permit. And state law even says that the permit does not give you a property right, that the permit itself does not convey a property right.
So under your scenario, any developer should seek permission from the city before they go invest money in property, whether it's 2 miles or 2 3/4 miles or 4 miles from the resource.
They certainly go forward at their own risk when the governmental entity has informed them that it will take all necessary action to oppose the project. Yes? I think we'd be remiss if we do not, as did the Court of Appeals, stop and apply the Penn Central Mayhew analysis to this case. And the initial part of that is this a governmental action for which no compensation is required? Not every taking is a compensable taking. And this court and the federal law have upheld over the years, and again as recently as last year, this court in denying the petition for review in the City of Houston case involving the landfill, involving the billboard ordinance, again stated that not every taking is compensable.
Does the city agree that this is a taking? Is that your position here?
Does the county agree it's a taking? Yes. No, because we agree with the Court of Appeals, you can't have a taking where there's no property right. But if you go the step further and say, even if you concede that there is some form of taking here, it is not a compensable taking, unless we're going to wipe away that 40 years of jurisprudence that says that 100 years of jurisprudence that says that there are examples of regulation for which there is not compensation required by the government. Those included several examples that the court cited in Penn Central. One of them, a Texas case involving the prohibition of the production of carbon black. Others involved cases in which there was a prohibition against the industrial use of property in a residential area. Those are specific examples where the courts have found that even though there is a regulation that diminishes the value of property, if it is done for legitimate health and safety purposes, then there is not a compensable taking. And we think that's the barrier.
Isn't there an exception to that, though, if the regulatory taking, even if it's for legitimate reasons, virtually destroys the value of the property, then you have to pay?
There certainly is in the jurisprudence about regulatory taking such a finding, but in regard to health and safety ordinances, no. The value of the property or the amount of the taking does not create the exception. But in this case, the evidence in the record is that there remains substantial value
in
this
property. Well, but that's conflicting, and I guess that's where I was leading to. They say in their brief that they have an appraisal report in that record that says refusing the variance would cause a 99% reduction in the value. And doesn't that create a fact question that can't be resolved on summary judgment?
The only issue to be resolved was whether or not the government had taken virtually all the value of the property, and the evidence in the summary judgment record is that it had not, and that's not contested.
Is there evidence, is there at least, whether it's disputed or not, is there evidence in the record that says 99% of the value would be destroyed without granting the variance?
There is evidence in the record that this property would have substantially greater value as when used as a landfill. And we think that begs the question of, could it be used as a landfill? And, of course, the record reflects no, it could not. And it cannot until they In fact, now in the present state of the law, go back and start over. Under the new regulations that have been adopted by the TCEQ, the Owens no longer exists, and begin again to seek a permit. There is no basis right now under which they could be granted a permit to operate a landfill on that property. The Texas legislature stopped that process and required the TCEQ to adopt new regulations, which they have now done, and there has been no application to reopen this permit.
Do you disagree that the current process under the new rules is, as opposing counsel said, one where the agency, you make a proposal, the agency says, well, you need to do this, that, and the other, and you go back and forth, or do you have just one shot at it? And if you don't get it perfectly safe, you're denied, and that's it.
No, it could go back and forth.
I mean,
that's for you.
I mean, this kind of.
Yes.
To what extent did the county participate in the agency process?
The county, the city of Corpus Christi, and every governmental entity, from Choke Canyon Reservoir to the Gulf, petitioned and became parties in that proceeding and were actively contesting that application at the time that HALCO lost its first lawsuit and then suspended further action, abated its permitting process. So what we have here is a situation where the county, faced with a proposal to impose a landfill in a, what its experts told it was a dangerous place, adopted a health and safety ordinance to protect that reservoir, did so at a time when, as soon as they had that information, they acted on it. If they had acted without that information, they'd been accused of acting arbitrarily and capriciously. If they had acted any earlier, before obtaining that expert information, then they would have been attacked from that side. So the county has done what it could. HALCO has proceeded now to not seek a permit for a landfill. That's not in their book at all. They're now seeking to exact money from the citizens of McMullen County for taking action that they enjoyed under the police power of this state to protect their citizens. And the Court of Appeals, we believe, properly found that you have no property interest to engage in what would have been an illegal use of the property without a granted permit, and that when the county acted as it did at the proper time before any permit was issued, that was not a taking and certainly was not a compensable taking. Thank you.
Thank you, Counsel.
May it please the Court. The county's position and the Fourth Court's position appear to be simply a straightforward, bright-line rule that unless a landowner has every permit in hand to undertake a particular use for a property, they never can raise a takings claim because they never have a reasonable investment-backed expectation which can be interfered with. That's not the law in the state of Texas. It's not the law under the United States Constitution. If it were the interpretation of the Texas Constitution, the Sheffield case would have been resolved in summary.
Well, by the same token, if you buy property for a purpose that you intend to use it for, and you know from the get-go you're going to be facing a fight all the way through, how can you have any certain sort of reasonably backed investment expectation?
That's exactly right, Your Honor. In fact, when HALCO bought the property, their reasonable investment-backed expectation was fairly minimal. Remember, we're talking about reasonable expectations, not certainty. And so just in that sense, we have to think of this as an investment on a chance. Every land use project is an investment on a chance. And when HALCO bought the property, even though they had invested $300,000, they were still very far from any kind of reasonable expectation to actually operate a landfill. And so the extent of the certainty of the permit fills in the content of the expectations. The expectations can be quite low at the beginning, and they grow with the investment when the investment produces a demonstrated, evidenced increase in the market value of the property.
So if there were a letter issued by TCEQ last week that said HALCO is likely to lose its permit, you would lose this case?
Your Honor, I'm not sure for two reasons. One, the TCEQ is bound to review our permit in the contested case scenario under the guidelines that exist. They can't change their rules in the process either, and that's statutory and it's constitutional.
Well, assuming TCEQ is not violating its rules.
Assuming they haven't violated the rules and they
have. Proper hoops, and it issues a letter saying on further consideration, Alcoa is likely to lose its permit.
At the time our variance was denied, this may well still have been a taking. That doesn't change the degree of interference with our current reasonable investment-backed expectations at the time the variance was denied. At the time it was denied, the day before the ordinance, we could have sold this property. If that letter came before the ordinance, the variance was requested and denied, then our reasonable investment-backed expectations would have gone down.
So you just explained that the reasonable investment-backed expectations built up over time through the effort of Halco, increasing the value of the property over this time. Why do we suddenly exclude a fact in that buildup of expectations, whether they're positive buildup or negative buildup?
Well,
aren't they still part of the experience?
Excuse me, Your Honor. We include all the facts. And a very relevant fact in the determination of reasonable expectations would be the safety of the landfill and the possibility of getting a permit. At the time the variance was denied, the possibility of getting a permit was not certain, but it was substantial. We had a much better chance of getting it at that time than we did when we started, and that's what the $485,000 in engineering and $800,000 invested. On the other hand, if there had been other evidence, if this were a completely different case in which the chances of getting the permit were much less significant, then we might still have had a reasonable expectation. It would have been smaller, and the degree of interference, therefore, would have been smaller, and this might look more like Sheffield. The idea of a takings claim is fact-intensive, and it is a continuum, and the court has recognized that, and the court has showed that most takings claims will not prevail. The counties are not at risk, and the cities are not at risk of constantly being besieged with meritorious compensation claims.
Could you have sought a variance right after the ordinance was enacted?
I think that anybody in Multnomah County can seek a variance at any point. Yes,
and if that's the case, and if, and I understand you can test this, but if Halco's pleadings in Halco 1 could have been construed to assert or have the basis for an as-applied takings challenge, why was that case not raised judicata as to all these issues?
Well, if this court finds that that was an as-applied takings challenge, which we think it wasn't, it would be raised judicata. We don't think it was or could have been because it wouldn't have been futile to seek a variance, and the variance requirement is mandatory for subject matter jurisdiction unless there's a finding that it's futile. And when the county asserted in their pleadings that we couldn't proceed because we had to seek a variance, it would have been contrary to the facts for the court to find that it was futile.
So you're basically asking to say even though you asserted facially an as-applied claim, it wasn't ripe, so we should declare that it wasn't ripe and therefore it wasn't res judicata.
It wouldn't have been ripe. It wasn't ripe.
Even though you asserted it, you're now saying we asserted an unripe claim and we need to recognize that so that res judicata doesn't work.
Any as-applied challenge that might have been brought at that time was unripe and there was no subject matter jurisdiction.
But unripe only because you chose not to seek a variance.
Unripe because the county had not had an opportunity to determine exactly how the ordinance would apply.
Because you had not sought a variance.
Because we had not sought a variance. And
under that scenario, why couldn't you then, you know, seek another variance tomorrow and start another lawsuit? I mean, it strikes me, I mean, there's 6 years that went by between the original ordinance and now this seeking of a variance. And if it could have been sought early on, I don't understand why res judicata wouldn't bar this whole thing.
Well, there's no indication, res judicata, that I know of, Your Honor, that landowners are obligated to approve their claims as early as they possibly can. We had no as-applied challenge until we sought a variance. Seeking a variance was an expensive undertaking, and it wasn't clear to Halco that they wanted to try to give the county another chance to determine exactly how.
But for res judicata, it's claims that you brought or could have brought. And if you could have brought it, I don't understand what would.
Well, we couldn't have brought the legal claim, because the facts weren't there, because we didn't undertake the variance application. The facts didn't exist for the legal claim.
But that was of your own choosing. You could have sought a variance.
We could have sought a variance.
Any further questions?
The appraisal of the property, was that dated as of the time of the denial of the variance?
I believe it was, Your Honor. It's in the record, an attachment to our motion in opposition to the summary judgment.
Thank you, counsel. The clause is submitted, and the court will now take a brief recess.